Welcome to the Sports East Coast Los Angeles Chargers podcast. We're actually going to talk about the Chargers today, and we would like to wish a fellow good morning to my fellow co-host for the morning, I guess, Eastern Time, Brandon Furtado. Good morning, brother. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Yeah, and then good night to you, Rob. This is I hope I spy. Is this the latest that we're gonna start the pod this year?
Unless there's some intense overtimes, yeah, this is gonna be the latest we're ever gonna start a podcast this year.
Thank God.
Thank you for staying up to do this. I know this is a lot. We had to literally plan this out like a month in advance because I was like, we're gonna have to record Eastern Time in the morning. Is this the stupidest start time or start time for a game in the history of the NFL?
I mean, thank God they pushed it forward a half hour because this was going to be 9:30. We still didn't watch the game right now it wasn't for that.
Well, initially they were supposed to start at, what was it, 8:45? It was 8:45 initially, and then they pushed it to 9, so they moved it up 15 minutes.
Oh, I thought for some reason, I don't know why people kept saying 9:30. I saw 9:30, so I was like, oh, never mind.
I think they changed the time multiple times probably.
Yeah, because I remember right before they put it at 9, people kept saying, oh, why is the game at 9:30? So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're wrong. I don't know. But all I know is thank God it didn't go any later than this. Because if we were starting this at like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, I would have been out of my mind.
I was expecting it to be honest, because I've never done a pod post a 6 o'clock Pacific NFL game. Never.
Yeah.
Like, this has never happened.
No.
And the earliest we start, other than, you know, sometimes dumb Sunday night games, is in the playoffs, because we start at like 10-ish, I guess, Eastern time, or 9-ish Eastern sometimes during the playoffs.
Yeah, those are beautiful because I can actually sleep that night. Those are great.
I know we go in the morning on your side, but to start in the morning is definitely a bit more exhausting.
Oh yeah, no, that's not even a question. Like, you know, it might not seem like a big difference, but when you're used to starting at 11:30, pretty much every time you come on, and now we have to come on at a little past 12, it's like, oh Jesus.
Yeah, it's honestly ridiculous. I have something ridiculous that NFL teams need to stop doing. We need to stop passing the ball every chance we get. Think about the Ravens, right? Think about what they're doing offensively. Think about what Seattle's doing offensively. Think about what your Eagles did offensively last night. There's many other examples. And then you watch the Cardinals, and then you're like, James Conner is absolutely demolishing this defense. Can you just use him? We're not asking you to use him 30 times a game. Oh, how about this? Get your guys in the flat. Look how the Chargers ended up, I guess, you know, losing that game, but possibly winning. A tight end in the flat in Will Dissly. Running back in the flat in James Conner. Dude, this is ridiculous. Get your running backs out in space. Because every time it happens, you can drive down the field. And the Ravens are a perfect example of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's why a lot of times, you know, like, we always say, like, you know, a lot of teams, and I think it's happened more so this year than in any other years, I've noticed that the teams that get the ball out quick, and I'm not saying quick as in screens, I'm saying quick as in like designed like flat routes and quick little, like, you know, 5 yard slants when the moment comes, they know how to, you know, because certain teams, like including mine, don't realize that, you know, on like a 3rd and 3, you know, if a guy is playing 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, maybe we should run a slant. And it's like the teams so far this year that have ran consistently good plays where they get their running backs and tight ends and even their wide receivers you know, on quicker routes, you know, more kind of flowy, you know, route concepts. And the teams that get the ball out that quick like that, and their quarterbacks are quick, you know, quick read decision making, they're the ones winning games, putting up, you know, 30 to 40 points a game.
And the ones who are consistently like, oh yeah, we can run the ball down their throats if we need to, and not enough teams are doing it, even though, like the Cardinals, you have a James Conner. Hell, you have a Kyler Murray that you can do options with, which Kyler did have a big run, but you get what I mean. It's exhausting.
Yeah, and because when you have a quick pass is just pretty much an extension of the run game. That's all it is. So when you can do, you know, when you can do both effectively, when you can wear them down with you know, 5-6 yard passing plays and then run the ball effectively for 5-7 yards a clip, you're gonna wear the defense out. You're gonna win a lot of games that way. I mean, you know, we always talk about this is a passing league, but you don't have to throw the ball, and you shouldn't throw the ball, you know, like 35 or, like, you know, really nowadays 30 times a game or more, because
there's a happy medium to this. We're not saying run the ball 30 times a game or pass the ball 30 times a game. How about a 20-20 split, for God's sakes?
Yep. And I mean, that's what Philly did against the Giants. That's why they scored 28 points.
That's what Seattle did on Sunday too. That's what the Ravens pretty much did today. I mean, you're getting examples across the league this week because running backs dominated this week.
Yeah, you know, when you, and you know, not every team has a top running back, but, like, you know, like, I mean, listen, like the Packers, they barely pulled out, you know, a last second win, but the Packers, they've been, you know, Josh Jacobs has been a little bit up and down this year, but they use him effectively when they need to. And that's what you brought him there to do. You brought him in there to help you, you know, expand that offense and make it kind of, you know, he should be more explosive than Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has been great this year too, but that's what the Vikings do also in that same division. The Vikings use their running backs, well, their running back, Aaron Jones, really well. Detroit uses Gibbs and Montgomery extremely well. Even the Bears to that whole division, really, even the Bears. You know, they started using DeAndre Swift more effectively. They're winning games. Like, you have to. You can never in this league, despite us calling it, you know, and people calling it nowadays a passing league, you cannot forget about the run game. It's an, or the quick pass game, even, because those two things are vital to a team's success. Because we always say, what's the thing we always say? You know, and that's a cliche. Games are won in the trenches. Those two things involve the trenches. So when you can do those two things effectively, you don't need to bomb the ball down the field 30 plus times a game. When you can just throw, you know, 20, 25 times a game and then run the ball 15 to 20 times a game. And then you're by the time you know it, you're winning a game like 35 to 16.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to me. And yes, the Cardinals won, but that's another thing. You're talking about the quick pass game. Marvin Harrison was disinterested for most of this game, and it feels like he's been disinterested most of the season. Why is that? It's because they're not getting the ball to him in quick spaces, and their offensive line is so bad that even if they can get him on a deep route, Kyler can't get it to him because he can't see him because he's got three guys down his throat. Like, you got to get Marvin Harrison the ball. This is ridiculous.
You know, that was one thing that, and this is why nowadays, you know, they're saying, oh, they, you know, remember how we were talking about, you know, weeks ago about the ridiculous idea of banning the, you know, the too high safety?
Yeah, so how stupid that was. Then, thank you, another fellow ESPN guy and Mel Kiper.
Like, remember, like, so we were talking about how, okay, defenses are doing that a lot more in the game. You know, it's a basic defense, but the thing is that that's an important part of playing defense. But the thing is, they've got the two high safeties, but then they're sending their front seven pretty much. And a lot of teams are doing this here. I feel like it's, I don't know, maybe, I don't know what the numbers are, but it feels like when I watch these games, it feels like it's up a lot. Blitzing is up.
Oh, yeah. If you're watching the games, blitzing is up a lot. Like, people are just sending the house at these guys because offensive lines are just been terrible across the league.
And that's where I was going. That's why you need a quick pass game and you need an effective run game, because if you can, that is how you neutralize a blitz. And this is what I was preaching about with Philly last year when Jalen Hurts was getting sacked, you know, 10 times a game because there was no quick routes. There was no routes in the middle of the field where he can get guys, you know, quick checkdowns for 3, 4, 5 yards. Like, you, in order to run a successful offense, in order to beat that blitz, because, like, you know, like guys like Steve Spagnuolo love sending in the blitz, you know, at perfect times. But the way you beat it is you've got to have an option in the flat. You've got to have an option 5 yards in front of the quarterback. You've got to have more outside runs because a lot of blitzes are to the inside. So you, if you can do those little things, and they're not hard things to do, a basic offense should be able to execute those kind of plays. If you can do that, and it should work. That's why Marvin, you know, that's what I was saying. Marvin Harrison's, again, it's kind of frustrating that he's not really getting the ball as much as he should. But hey, you've got to realize that, hey, we, like you were saying, get him the ball in open space.
They were talking about that all night on the broadcast. Every time they went down the field, and they were right, Orlovsky and Reddick were right. It was just annoying to watch. Because he's like, yo, you can get me open. Like, you could see Marvin Harrison talking to Jonathan Gannon and be like, yo, you can get me open. Just design me to get open. Like, this is ridiculous, dude.
Yeah. It's becoming a problem now across the NFL, where it's like these offenses, you know, at one point we were talking about how scoring is up. I mean, it feels like for the most part, scoring has been down this year.
Yeah, I would say so.
And it's like, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, the sloppy O-line play, sloppy play calling, sloppy play design. I mean, basically lazy and neglectful play design. And it's frustrating. It's all contributing just to the bigger picture of, like, at the NFL this year, I mean, last year was bad, but we love football, but the product itself is horrible.
It's rough.
It is.
Yeah. It's rough. And then you're looking at what the Ravens are doing, and that's a product of a team that if this can continue, it's hard to deny them as the best team in the AFC right now, because what they're doing, yeah. Even look, Derrick Henry is getting big runs. Even if he doesn't, they're saving him for the postseason to get those the playoffs, I should say. To get those 30 carries. And even if he doesn't, he still contributes. It's impressive.
It's, you know, we always kept saying, oh, you know, how to stop Derrick Henry. You know, you stack the box a little more. He's even beating that this year, which is, it's like,
because he's not, you know, getting before, dragged. Because he's not getting dragged, Brandon. He's only out there for like half of the plays, if that.
Yeah. And on top of that, you know, he's behind a better offensive line in Baltimore than what they had in Tennessee, and he's with just better talent now. So it's same thing with Saquon Barkley. It's become like those two; they're the two leading running backs in the NFL right now. But look at where they are: two teams that have a winning pedigree, and you know, they can turn it on when they can put a team on their back when they need to, like they did in their previous teams, and it works. I mean, it's like they don't have to be the guy. They have other guys around them to take the load off when need be, and that's why you don't have to see Derrick Henry, you know, with like we said, 25, 30 rushes a game. You know, you're seeing him with, you know, 15 to 20,
if that, or even barely. He's barely on the field, and he's making this impact. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like tonight, I think he had what, like 15 carries.
Yeah,
15, 16 carries.
Yeah,
so. You know, like, you know, I mean, you give him 12 to 20 carries versus what he was getting in Tennessee, where it was, you know, 22 to 25 carries. It's like he's going to be fresher. He's going to be more explosive. And we've seen that this year. We're seeing the best version of Derrick Henry we've ever seen. And that's been the Ravens. And the Ravens, what's been their MO for a very long time? Running the ball effectively and playing good defense. And right now they're getting both. So, and especially with Derrick Henry back there, and even hell, to a lesser degree, Justice Hill, he's playing good football too when he's in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not, you know, he's not, yeah, getting a, he's not getting a ton of run, but the thing is, he makes the most of his opportunities. The guy's a receiving back that can, you know, he won't get a ton of rushing attempts, but as a receiving back, he's a change of pace guy. You put him in there out of the backfield, he'll catch a Texas route and score a 20-yard touchdown.
Yeah, like it's simple as that. You know, it's look, okay, seriously, rest of the NFL, look at how the Ravens are playing. Just do. A lot of teams don't have a Derrick Henry. No one has a Derrick Henry. But just look at what they're doing and do that. They're the model here, man.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Baltimore was one of those teams. Just like, you know, I'm not gonna get caught up, you know, because obviously we're only 7 weeks in, and Baltimore always has one of those kind of, you know, looks where, you know, hey, by halfway through the season they look really, really good, but, you know, but by the end of the season you can kind of see a little bit of cracks, and then they
once we get to January, I understand that once we get to January stuff, but they're still the model right now. This just feels different than it has with Henry. It provides the, you know, everyone in the league for some reason, all these head coaches are talking about, let's have a spark. Derrick Henry is the league's flipping spark right now. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the big running backs right now, like we were saying, for our, you know, back to our first point, like a lot of these leagues running backs have been spark plugs for their team. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry,
Kenneth Murray, why do I always mess it up?
Kenneth Walker.
There we go. Jesus, I always mess this up. But yeah, Kenneth Walker is another great example.
But it's like all those teams utilize their run game. It's like, you know, that's why I'm scared about Buffalo, because Buffalo still doesn't use James Cook as effectively as they should. They're starting to a little bit, you know, every other week and things like that, but they're not using him as well as they should. But, you know, but these guys, and you cannot have, and we said it last year, you can't win big games and you cannot win a Super Bowl if you don't have an effective running game. And it's not just the type of player you have in the backfield, it's how you utilize those players. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you have Derrick Henry or if you have, you know, like Trent Richardson back in the day, you know, terrible, or, you know, Peyton Hillis. Like, if you can't find a way to get those guys creative looks and get them, you know, touches in very important spots, and, you know, and just push the right buttons on offense, you're not going to win a lot of games. You need a running game, because it breaks up the flow of an offense. It gets your quarterback a little bit in rhythm if you need it to. And it wears down your opponent. What do they always say to if you're facing good offense, like the best defense against them is a good running game, because you keep them off the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you have an effective running game, and also that contributes to time of possession, you'll be just fine.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. On the other side with the Chargers, yikes, man. I mean, I get it. Ladd McConkey was hurt. Ladd McConkey looks like he's their number one receiver, but yikes, dude. I mean, you're relying on Will Disley in the clutch, and I love Will Disley, but come on, man. They don't have anything at receiver right now, and then that secondary is still bad without Derwin James. It feels like Harbaugh is masking a lot of these problems, because, you know, we're not going to talk about he shall not be named for the Chargers last year, but dude, this rebuild is going to take a couple years. Like, this team is not there yet, man.
No, they're just not, and it's a shame, because it's handcuffing the talent of Justin Herbert a lot. Like, you are ruining Justin Herbert by just giving him complete crap. Him and Harbaugh, you are ruining them by giving them crap to work with. They have nothing there. They are too often injured. And the thing is, the guys that are injured are getting older and slower. Well, you know, it's not a good combination. I mean, you like tonight, you're basically down to your fourth string wide receivers trying to catch passes. Like, Quentin Johnson was hurt. Ladd McConkey hurt, even though he tried to play through it. You know, like you were running good raw, and they're running my favorite out there. They're running Jalen Reagor out there, who caught a pass and proceeded to fumble it out of the end zone.
Oh my God.
So I don't understand how we talk about the Chargers. We've been saying this like what, the better part of 2 years now. That roster does have talent. It does have, you know, it has now a good head coach. They just don't have the front office to help them build something special there. And that's why, you know, we were saying, oh, this year's a rebuild. And it's funny because they're not below 500, I don't think, yet. But it's just, if this keeps going the way this is going, this team is going to end up with like a top five draft pick, but you are going to have to start hitting on some draft picks, because that's what a rebuild is supposed to do. So you can't go out there and, I mean, listen, I know Joe Alt was your guy, but you know, he's battled his own injuries this year, but when he's in there, he's great. So that was a good first step. But I mean, the health is just not going to be there. It wasn't there when Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were there, and it's not there now. And it's like, listen, it's a lot of it is just tough breaks. You know, that's just how it is. But at some point, you've really got to bolster that roster with free agency moves, hitting on draft picks. You can't go much longer. And especially you're wasting time on Justin Herbert's window by being what seems like, even for last year, it being a rebuild. You know, it felt like we were going towards a rebuild. Now we're in the rebuild, but it's like, how much longer do we have to wait while Herbert wastes away? Joey Bosa's never healthy anymore, even though he's a great player.
Yeah, and here's something too, right? We always talk about this in the offseason. Harbaugh can spin a rebuild on its head and make them good. This is a different situation with the Chargers, because he doesn't have talent to build on as a whole. It's such a different situation for him. And it's like, he's never been in a situation like this, Brandon, where it's going to take a couple years. And you said this with Herbert. I don't think they have a couple years to get there. They don't.
No. I mean, if that, you basically have to speed up. Like, you can't even wait another 2 years. Like, if this team
you have to get there next year. You have to get there next year.
Yeah, and it's a shame, because if you don't get there in, like, not even next year, like, I would say, the beginning of next year, but at the very latest, the middle of next season, if you don't get there, it's done. It's done. That entire team, the players that you tried to build this team up with are done. You know, like I said, Justin Herbert, I love the guy. He cannot keep withstanding this. He's getting beat up badly, and you're just not helping. He doesn't have receivers. He's got a serviceable tight end, but not a good one. The O-line, really outside of Joe Alt, is not good. That defense is often injured, so they're hanging in there. They're still playing good, tough defense every week. They're still a very good defense, but it's not enough when your offense just cannot score, because they're so badly banged up, injured, and just kind of mismatched that your defense gives up 17 points. Like tonight, you gave up 17 points. You lost. And it seems like that's been a common theme watching the Chargers the past really two and a half, three years is, hey, they'll give you – the defense will show up and only allow a team 20 or less points, but you'll only go out and score 14 to 17 points, and then that's it. So you've lost a ton of games. It's pretty hard to succeed when that's basically your formula, and then now you have a good coach who he is handcuffed to. So it's a bad situation for the Chargers, and it's like I want to see them do well. You know, they have those great pieces that we talked about, but time is not just running out, it is quickly running out.
Yeah, for sure. Tampa Bay, their bye week is in week 11. I'm going to give you their next three matchups. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Home against Atlanta next week, division matchup. At Kansas City, Monday Night Football. Home against the Niners, and then the Bucs. That's the next 3 weeks for Tampa. What does the next 3 weeks look for Tampa Bay now? Is they probably are not going to have Evans or Godwin. I mean, Godwin's out the year, maybe not even a Buck next year. I don't think we're going to see Evans until after the bye, at least right now. Of course, that's speculation at the moment. What does the next 3 weeks look for this team that needs their receivers to produce? I mean, they did for a little while. Of course, that interception in the middle of the game kind of turned the tide for the Bucs there by Baker. But without your two top receivers for, let's just say, presumably the next 3 weeks with that schedule, it's a scary situation.
Oh, it's beyond scary because there's still, you know, some okay talent to make up for it. But, you know, Mike Evans going down, that's just a fluky kind of thing. You know, and it's sad because Mike Evans is so consistent. So it's like him missing some time because it's a hamstring injury. So he's going to miss 2-3 weeks. That's going to hurt his chances at, like, you know, another 1,000-yard season and things like that. But for this offense, that's your number one. Your number one for any offense, your number one goes down, that could be your season. Now your number one and number two are down. And the worst part is you could have avoided your number two going down. You weren't winning that game. You were down by 10 with a minute left and no timeouts. Like, go home. And even Troy Aikman said it. Why are you still trying to throw this ball 30 yards down the field? Just go home. Take your loss and go home. There was no reason to try to, like, it's different if it's a one score game. It's different. You have to try to tie the game or try to win it, whatever it is. But when you were down by 10 with a minute left, pack it up and go home. I don't care. There's no shame in taking an L where you already lost your number one. Even Aikman literally said it. Like, it was almost like it was a curse because Aikman literally had said it. The play right before Godwin gets hurt, he says, I don't know why Tampa is still trying to pass this ball here, and especially it's a 3rd and 17. He's like, I don't know why they're still trying to pass the ball because this game's over. Just take your loss and go.
Especially when you know what the next 3 weeks looks like. This is only the start of this.
Yeah, and it's now you lose those two. I mean, not even wide receiver. Who's your number one target now? Kate Otten? And you got two running backs on the backfield, Rashad White and Bucky Irving, which is nice to have. But Baker Mayfield can't survive off of that. I mean, you know, the other guys aren't terrible, but they're not great. They're not gonna put up even a 60-yard game, let alone 100 or whatever it is, 110, like a Mike Evans or a Chris Godwin could do for you. They're just not those kind of guys. So, you know, their defense is gonna be worn out. That's for damn sure. And then your offense is going to be playing from behind. Baker Mayfield is going to end up having to throw the ball 40 times a game to try to save them. Because, I mean, those three opponents, I mean, you're looking at 0-3. You were 4-2 coming into this game. You're 4-3 now after the loss. And now with the injuries, you're going to end up being probably 4-6. And all of a sudden, you could look back, and now your season is going to be over.
And you look at the position they're in the division. It's still competitive at this point.
Yeah, it's still losing, competitive. Like,
opening next week, let's just say, you know, for sake of argument, you open up next week, you lose to Atlanta, the division's in a different place come this time next week.
Yep. That's what I'm saying, that by, you know, you string a couple of these losses along because these guys aren't going to be healthy. I mean, we're just assuming, we don't know, you know, because football's weird like that, but if all goes according to plan, I mean, they're going to be 0-3. So you're going to go 0-3. So if you lose to Atlanta next week and Atlanta even just wins one more game on top of that, goes 2-2, you know, 2-3 in that stretch, or they win, I don't know who their opponents are, but all of a sudden that division is theirs to lose. They got a firm lead. So, I mean, if you're the Bucs,
what team do you want me to look at? Atlanta? Right now for the division,
who's Atlanta's next? Atlanta's next after the Bucs next week?
Let me look at what their Let me look at so Bucks. So let's see. I'm pulling it up right now. So Bucks next week, Cowboys, and then Saints. So at Tampa, Cowboys at home, at Saints is their next 3 weeks.
Ooh,
for Atlanta.
Two division games, and the Cowboys, who aren't great, but neither is Atlanta right now. So that's tricky for Atlanta. That and especially, like, those are really all trap games for Atlanta. Those are three straight trap games, because that's division. And then in between is a Cowboys team that isn't good, but it's the Cowboys. You don't know when they're going to explode. So yeah. That's going to be a real interesting 3 weeks for the NFC South, because the Saints are coming. You know, I mean, they're banged up, but that's, you know, that's a division game in three weeks.
Derek Carr might come in sooner rather than later again, too. Right? The updates are getting better, so who knows?
So it's, wow, that division is it just seems like it's a mess right now. I mean, it really is. Because all those teams are you know, at least for the, you know, a little bit banged up, and, you know, or just not playing, you know, truly effective good football. So it's that's going to be a real interesting next really month, or pretty much month, in that division. That the new November is really going to be, the end of October, but November is going to be a real interesting month for the NFC North.
Yeah, definitely will be. NFC South, you mean, correct? You said North.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
let's
South.
Let's be cautious. Let's talk about another team in the AFC South really quick, as our post-credit scene. Did you see the Steph Curry interview at halftime with Van Pelt?
No.
Okay.
No.
At the end of the interview, because obviously they're previewing the season and all this stuff. Basketball's back tomorrow. Really excited. It's gonna be great. At the end of the interview, Scott Van Pelt, Steph Curry goes, "Go Panthers," and Scott Van Pelt very quickly says, "Good luck with that."
Like, jeez.
God damn.
Oh, I caught you slipping up, because you called it the AFC South. So we're all messed up.
This is what happens on a Monday night after. Dude, we had Thursday night. We had a London game at 6:30 on Sunday. And then we have a game finishing past midnight on the East Coast. What is the NFL?
Pretty much, we're just as much of a mess right now as the NFC South is.
Yes.
So listen, for people listening, forgive us. We're tired. This is just, you know, but you get what we're saying. If everybody listening, you understand what we're trying to say.
No, everyone definitely understands. But this has been a mess of a week for the NFL and us.
And I mean, listen, go Panthers. I mean, Canales just doubled down and said, "What? We're not leaving Andy Dalton. He's staying in there."
Yikes. I mean, I don't know. Bryce Young isn't much better.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I was saying, I mean, that's why we were saying, what was the point of benching Bryce Young? Because you just completely killed any hope that kid has left. So it's like, I you know, are Panthers tickets still very cheap like they were last year?
Do you want me to check what they're, do you want me to check? You know, I'll check two things for you, because we have Panthers Giants in Munich in a few weeks.
I don't know why my mind keeps forgetting about that, because I'm trying to block it out from my memory before it even gets here.
We're a couple weeks away, dude, from that monstrosity.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, I'm trying to like have like amnesia when it comes to that, because I'm like, I don't want to think about it.
Panthers Saints Sunday, November 3rd at Bank of America. How much are these tickets? $34. $34, the cheapest.
That is a steal.
Is it?
Do you want to
watch Panthers Saints on a Sunday? Do you want to do that?
No, I don't want to. But at the same time, you know, anybody desperate to just go to an NFL game, like, damn, I, you know, that's, you know, I might consider it. I mean, thank God I'm not a fan. If I was a fan of either of those teams, I'd be so depressed. It's after last game, didn't the Saints fans put the bags back on their heads?
Yeah. Do you want to guess how I'm on StubHub for this? Do you want to guess how much the cheapest ticket is for the Munich game? Giants Panthers.
It's over, you know, overseas, the pageantry, but because the two teams just suck. I would say it's probably just. Probably like what, $50?
It's $124 cheapest ticket.
What in God's name? No. Shame on the NFL for thinking that. Listen, I get it. You want to grow the game. You aren't going to grow the game between two garbage teams and jack up the prices pretty much four times what they're worth in the United States to go see those two teams. That's ridiculous. Absolutely not.
I want to see what it is on Ticketmaster. But yeah, that's on StubHub. You wouldn't do that even just for a trip to Munich?
No.
No. Oh, yeah, I can't find it on StubHub. Whatever. But yeah, the cheapest ticket's like 130 some bucks.
Yeah, we get the point. Oh God, is that awful? The NFL, like, we talked about being exhausted.
This week, at least podcast wise, is our busiest week of the season probably until the playoffs. Just because of what the scheduling is like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm so concerned. I don't know. I'm my brain is so mush even now tonight, and it's only Monday. Well, excuse me, it is Tuesday morning for me, but Monday night pretty much. So
in week seven, we still have a long way to go.
I mean, listen, it's still not as bad because last year I was fried by week three.
Week three.
I was already saying week three, screw the season, I'm done. The NFL is awful this year. That's all I have to say every week at this point. So, but thank God we at least doubled that this year and waited until week seven to say that. Wow, the NFL sucks again this year.
I'm gonna give you some relieving news, at least podcast wise, before we head out for the night. We get Rams Vikings on Thursday night.
Oh, okay, that's actually a somewhat decent game. Thank you, God.
So at least we get that.
Is Coop back for that game?
Yes, he is.
Oh, there's some relief. Oh, because that was going to be so bad if he still didn't play with Puka out. Oh, at Jesus.
At least from what we heard yesterday, McVay said he expects him to play. So, yep.
God.
Colts Vikings week 9 flexed into Sunday night. Jags Eagles at 4:25 got flexed up. Are you excited about either of those games on week 9?
No. I mean, listen, I know we'll win that game, but no.
No, not even the Sunday night flex. You're like, no.
No, because even the even the Sunday night games, which should be the highlights of the week. And the thing is, I was talking about this with JD during his podcast earlier. Because we had this discussion pretty much that for some odd reason, like, remember when we were teenagers and 10 years ago, the matchups were great on Sunday night and Monday night? Like, the games were always great.
We would always be like, frick homework, let's watch Sunday night football.
Exactly, because they were always great matchups. I'm like, And I'm like, I go to Sunday night and Monday night now, and I'm like, what is the garbage game they're showing this week?
What is the game they're showing, and the game is going to end at in the morning on the East Coast on Monday night?
Oh, God. I cannot handle. As I get older, and I'm not even old, we're 24. As I get older, like, by 30, I'm going to be a decrepit old man because the NFL is going to age me so drastically and so far into the future that I will not be able to withstand football anymore.
Our next streaming service games are going to be on Christmas Netflix games. So at least that's something. And then let's see. No Monday Night Double anymore. God bless America. One more awful international game in a couple of weeks. So thank God.
Oh, well, we're getting somewhere. We're making progress. The light at the end of the tunnel is appearing. We're getting there.
It is appearing. All right. Well, thank you for staying on with me deep into Tuesday morning on your end. Thank God we don't have to do this anymore. Please, NFL, don't schedule games like this ever again. You can do an ESPN Plus game, but don't schedule it at 6 Pacific time.
Now,
please, for God.
Now, real quick, can they flex a game into the next? Like, let's say there's only one game on Monday. Could they flex a Sunday game into another Monday night?
Yeah, now they can officially do that. Yeah.
Oh, so we're not out of the woodwork yet, then. They could still do that.
They can flex a Monday night game, but hopefully, they can only replace what you're asking is this. They can only replace that one Monday night game. They can't do doubles anymore.
Oh, thank God. Oh, okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. The doubles are officially done, Brandon. We're done. We're done. Two Monday nights at one time. We're done. This is it.
So the only thing we have left to hurl about is just the Munich game.
Yeah. Because honestly, Christmas on Netflix, we got like J.J. Watt and Noah Eagle and Ian Eagle and Greg Golson. Like, at least we got some good commentators for those games. So it should be
fun. Christmas football is just fun because by that point, we know exactly what every team is. So we can pick out the games that we care about and talk about them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, at least we're going to be switching our schedule for Christmas and all that stuff, obviously, because we want to be with our families. We don't want to talk about trash football. We can do that. We can do that on Sunday and Monday, depending on everything else. Oh, and speaking of that, we have Thursday night football on Halloween this year. So there we go.
Yes, thank God.
So that'd be fun. And speaking of Halloween, let's announce the movie we're doing. We're doing It 2017 this week for Halloween.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be
fun. I'm excited for that. I'm excited that. You know, it's crazy. This year, it feels like we're doing a lot of movies that I've seen
already. Compared to last year? Yeah.
Yeah.
At least for you, yeah. For me, all of this is new. All these movies are new. I've never seen It. I think the only one that I have seen this year, I think, was Venom, unless I'm missing something. But yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad that we've kind of done something that both Shane and I have seen. So...
Yeah,
it adds more context, and it adds more just we can talk about it in kind of a deeper way. So that's good this year. But I do listen. You've never seen It.
Are you excited to see me lose my shit about a horror movie? Because A Quiet Place wasn't that horror-ish. It is kind of horror-ish, and it's gonna be fun. Like, I'm excited. I'm actually genuinely excited to get multiple jump scares. And let my blood pressure rise. Like, I'm excited for that.
Oh yeah, like this. I saw this in theaters when it came out. My friends and I, you know, we watched it. We really loved it. So we're gonna talk about it, this week upcoming. You know, or I should say, really next Sunday. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. Because I remember I loved it. I loved the remakes.
That's gonna be such a good way to edge out. Cowboys Niners on Sunday.
Oh yeah, That's gonna be a good. I mean, that should be a good matchup, despite where the teams, you know, where the teams are coming from right now. But that's, you know, that is what it is. But you know, that'll be good. Talking about a horror movie would be good. Doing kind of a Halloween episode before Halloween is going to be good. So,
and then doing an episode on Halloween the week following, and then obviously doing all the other Sunday madness on Sunday is going to be good. So
It definitely does make sense, because we're terrified of how football has been played this year, where we are terrified about the games and how they've shaken out this year.
Okay. Speaking of terrified, I'll do one more quick thing. This is kind of, we weren't expecting to go this long, but whatever, we're having a good time. Speaking of which, did you see that thing about the movie Terrifier that I sent you guys?
With the barf bag?
Not the barf bag, the other thing.
No.
Like 14, like around the age of like teenagers, like 14, 15, they're buying tickets to The Wild Robot, which, by the way, is a great movie. I've heard great things. I can't wait to see that movie. They're buying tickets to Wild Robot, and instead of going to see Wild Robot, they're sticking in the Terrifier.
Nice. Nice. I get, like, I know a lot more people are complaining that this, that the new one is gory, and I get that, but it's like,
but it's Terrifier. I'm not gonna watch it because I'm not there yet with horror movies.
Yeah, I love the first two Terrifiers. I have to watch the third one. I'm not gonna watch it in theaters. I mean, maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I'll go like after Halloween. I'll go next weekend, and I'll go do it. Not next weekend, the weekend after. So after Halloween. But I don't know. I heard people really didn't care for it. I heard people, either this very love hate, like just like the first, you know, two were, but the first two also got good reviews, like, you know, Rotten Tomato wise and things like that. So, and I loved the first two. So, you know, I'm a fan.
It's also just such a good, even though I'm not going to see the Terrifier movies until I know I can really handle horror movies. That's like peak shit. But the thing that makes me happy about Terrifier, it's a huge win for independent cinema. I mean, to make that much money, it's awesome, dude. It's really nice.
Yep. And I also love it because that, I mean, just like I've said with the Penguin series and all that kind of stuff, like, and now Matt Reeves has pretty much set the Batman universe pretty much in Newark, in Gotham. I love how Terrifier series just has its kind of own roots in Jersey. The Joker 1, Joker 2, you know, that's been set in Jersey. I like how a lot of movies are, you know, not putting Jersey on the map, but reestablishing Jersey, you know, kind of in a way. So I do like the fact that we're getting some love on the East Coast here with these movies that are coming out lately. Even these big kind of production movies, and, well, not even big production, but just big like landmark kind of movies. So
definitely. Definitely. All right. Well, thanks again for staying up, Brandon. We will not have to do this again this year. Thank God.
Yeah. That's a godsend. Thank God.
Unless like Monday night goes to a stupid overtime, which to be honest, we normally record during the overtimes anyway. We're done for the year with this stupid late night stuff. Thank God. This is the one we've been planning for, and it's done. Thank God. But thank you for joining me, and it's time for us to go to sleep. I'm very tired.
Yeah, I don't blame you, because I mean, listen, if you're tired, imagine me. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's time for us to go to bed. All right. We'll see you on Thursday, brother.
Yep, I'll see you too, Rob. And thanks again, everybody, for hanging out, you know, late with us a little bit. So that's definitely good.
Thank you so much, as you enjoy your Tuesday morning coffee. Thank you all so much.
Yeah.